Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 1 through 41. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and ask them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you ever find yourself thinking about how we sometimes glorify the past? We think about the good old days and wonder if they'll ever return. Because sometimes the good old days seem to have been more comfortable than what we are living through today. And we're not sure what is to come, and so it's easier to think about the past. And then in the present to wonder why the present doesn't seem as good as what we remember from before. And we ask that question, why? Why was this man born blind? Why are things so different in our culture today? Why this? Why that? Those of you who have children or grandchildren, remember that stage in life when children seem to ask why this, why that, day after day, the same questions over and over again, trying to understand the world around them. And why questions are important, particularly as children are trying to make sense of the world. But for us, we often ask why as a means of avoiding the things that are looking us straight on in the present or in the future. Why questions often have no answer, and they don't move us forward together as a community. Why questions often keep us stuck in what's behind us instead of pointing us toward the future. Now, children might ask, why is the sky blue? Or why is your hair curly and my hair straight? Those are questions that lead to understanding and figuring things out. But as we grow into adulthood, we say to ourselves, why don't people go to church the way they used to? Why do kids talk the way they do? Why don't people treat each other with the same kind of respect they used to? Have any of you had those kind of questions? Have you wondered and spent time thinking about why things today are not the same as they were in the past? Sometimes it's a way that we have to find someone to blame for a problem that we're experiencing. The disciples did it. They said, "Teacher, who sinned, this man's parents, or did this man sin that caused him to be born blind? Why was he born blind? Whose fault is that?" We often spend time trying to figure out who is at fault rather than figuring out what can we do differently to create a new future. I bet some of you have said, "Why did you put that milk carton back in the refrigerator empty? Why didn't you do the dishes? Why did you leave the car on empty when you knew I had a long drive tomorrow? Why isn't the laundry done? All kinds of things that happen within families. Again, trying to avoid whatever else might be going on and figuring out whose fault the problem might be. Sometimes the question becomes, why doesn't this person who once loved me, why doesn't this person seem to like me anymore? What can I do differently? But Jesus says, don't spend time on trying to find the answer to that question. Jesus says, let's change now to become made something new in the future. As long as we try to find a way to place blame or shifting blame from one person to another, we don't work on change. We don't work on problem solving or the solutions. Because once we decide it's not our fault, then we can just go away in righteous indignation and leave the problem for someone else. We can walk by the blind beggar sitting on the side of the road day after day when we realize that it wasn't our fault he's there and it's not our problem to fix. If we knew why he was blind, it wouldn't change anything because he adds comfort to our lives because we say, well, at least that's not me and I didn't cause it. But Jesus again says, no, that's not the way we should be. We should change situations as often as we can to move forward together to create healing and wholeness and community among all our people. He says we can't do anything about the many years that this man has already been blind. That's in the past. And it doesn't matter how he became blind, that's in the past. But we can do something now. And so he makes this little slurry of dirt and his spit, and he mixes it together, and he puts it on the man's eyes. He sends the man to the pool of Siloam and says, wash your face, and then come back. And the man washes his face. He turns to come back to see Jesus. He wasn't expecting to see Jesus. He turns to come back to Jesus. And suddenly, it's a whole new world. He can see. He can join the society in a way that was never possible before. His entire countenance has been changed. People don't recognize him because instead of having that kind of look that blind people often have, there is awareness and alertness in his face that no one had ever seen before. People don't recognize him, but then they figure out who he is and they're surprised and they're disappointed because now that he can see, they can't ignore him anymore. They can't walk by him as if he doesn't exist, because if they did, he would see how they were treating him. And then they begin to ask questions. Well, how did this happen? Who did this to you? Who did this to you? Not, what a great and exciting gift you have received, but who did this to you? They're uncomfortable. They don't know what to make of it because it's outside their expectation, and they've been so busy looking back that they don't know who it is in their midst. This presence of God in Jesus Christ, able to change people's lives with a simple mix of dirt and spit. His parents were called to account What happened to your son? Was he not born blind? How is it now that he sees? And his parents are afraid to speak up on his behalf. They say, well, yes, he's our son, but we don't know what happened. Don't blame us. Don't throw us out of the community. We didn't do it. Ask him. He's old enough. He can speak for himself. Listen to that fear of what a closed community does. They tighten their ranks and they keep people out and they don't open their hearts to what God can do through the simplest of acts. Somebody wants to blame somebody else for this man suddenly being able to see, as if that's not a good thing. The Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the church, the people who are referred to throughout this reading, this section, as the Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes stand to lose some power here. They know competition when it arrives on the scene, and they want to make sure that everybody falls into line where they belong. They want everybody to toe the line of following Moses, who said, on the Sabbath, we rest. Well, God said that, but you know, it got passed on down through Moses, and it became the rule that on the Sabbath, nobody would do anything like mix a little mud and put it on somebody's eyes and help him to see. But that's what happened. And Jesus always cuts to the chase and says, well, what difference does it make if it happened on the Sabbath or if it happened some other day? Why aren't you happy for this man who can now see? He's no longer a burden. He's no longer a beggar on the community's list of people they have to take care of. He can now contribute to the life of the community. But the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews, all the people really felt kind of comfortable with the guy not being able to see. They could talk about what a sinner he was and not think about what they might have done to fall short, what they might have done to hold back God's love, what they might have done to impede the coming of God's promised kingdom. As long as there was someone else they could point to as the one who was the sinner, they didn't have to look at themselves. So instead of seeing God's work in their very presence, they kept talking about breaking the rules and causing trouble. They didn't figure out what it meant to live with the kind of love that God wanted to pour out upon them. But Jesus is always ready to bring change to the people he meets. Jesus is ready to bring change to you and to me, to each of our lives, if we open our hearts. Jesus is ready to bring change to the church when we are ready to receive it. When we encounter Jesus, we know something is afoot. Something new is going to happen. We can't be sure what it will be at every turn, but we know that it will be wrapped in love and grace. Sometimes we get stuck, though, and we want to know why. Why do we have to change? Why do we have to be different? Why do we have to let go of the things that we've always loved so much? Why can't the church be the way it was when it was in its heyday, when I remember, when everyone came to church, when it was the place to be on Sunday mornings? Why can't the world stay the same? Those are questions that don't lead us to new answers. Those are questions that take us away from the way of Jesus Christ. For when Jesus comes to the party, Jesus brings change. I used to subscribe to a magazine called, I can't remember what it was called. It was some business magazine. But the cover that I'm getting, there was a cover, this was probably 5 or 6 years ago, the cover said in big letters on the front, "Change or die." And that has always stuck with me, that we have to find ways to adapt, to be different, to let Jesus lead us in a new way of being, where we try different things, we do different things, where we're open to the movement of the Spirit in ways that we might not recognize. The guy who was born blind didn't ask Jesus to do anything. He didn't even know Jesus was walking up to him because he couldn't see. So Jesus walks up and says, "Here," and he makes this little mud pack and puts it on his eyes, and his life is changed thereafter. We don't know when we might encounter Jesus in our daily walk, in our life together as a community of faith. But when we do, we have to listen and be open to the idea of something new and something different. We have to let go of that demand we might feel of wanting an explanation for why things should change. We have to let go of that desire to be in charge of what goes on in our lives. We have to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are easy words for me to say. They're not always easy for us to do because we have that nagging question in the back of our minds about why. And why can't we keep looking behind us? And sometimes it ends up that we move forward and not everybody comes along. Sometimes we keep moving and we don't know what to expect, and we're caught by surprise. And we don't recognize ourselves. And people don't recognize us. But the truth is, why it happens, why whatever the past was is still the past, the whys are not what is important in our journey of faith. In our journey of faith, what is important is how we respond when God says, "Go." When Jesus comes and changes us and sends us in a different direction. We are where we are today, and we are called to look to the future as new creatures, a new creation through the eyes of Christ, the eyes that have been washed and healed with a little bit of mud and a little bit of water. Let's be ready to become part of God's new heaven and new earth today and tomorrow and the next day without really looking back. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.